This episode of Section D was first broadcast on the 21st of April 2015 on Monocle 24. Hello and welcome to Section D, Monocle 24's dedicated design show. I'm your host, Tom Morris. We've just arrived back at Midori House after a week pounding the pavements of piazzas and trade fair halls of Salone del Mobile in Milan. The 54th edition was a sunny affair with a whole host of eye-grabbing events and exhibitions, not to mention the biennial lighting show, Euroluce. We'll hear from design heavyweights such as Jasper Morrison.
Form is not the most important thing. It's not the thing which guarantees performance. There are many other qualities in an object than its shape.
And also Rodolfo Dordoni.
The idea of comfort is a visual impression.
All that and much more besides coming up today on part one of our Salone series here on Section D on Monocle 24. But before that, I'm pleased to say I'm joined by my Monocle team members, Josh Fennett and Chiara Romella, to reflect on the week that was. So, Josh, let's start with what was the overall mood like in Milan this week? Obviously, the sun always helps during Salone.
Well, I hope you'll agree with me. I think it was great fun. There was a real sense of energy about the city. As you mentioned, you know, 2,000 exhibitors, and that brings 300,000 people into Milan. And it really changes the mood of the city. And, you know, comparing it to previous years, as you mentioned, that sort of quite oppressive northern Italian weather can sometimes make schlepping around the city quite hard. But the weather, you know, really opened it up and I think gave people a positive outlook. In terms of what we saw at the fair, I thought the offering was rather good. I wasn't blown away by a huge number of new finds. Obviously, it's very hard to see everything, but I wonder what your take on it was.
Mm. I think overall, as you say, it was a lot of brands kind of, no one particularly doing anything new. I think we're still sort of stuck in the post-crisis safety net. But certainly, I think some of the best, most interesting things were the kind of the extracurricular events that were happening, which I think this year more than ever, maybe it was the sun sort of getting everyone out on the streets. It certainly felt more than ever that it really overtook the whole city and was a real success. Chiara?
Absolutely. I think Fuori Salone was the highlight of the event. I mean, the Louis Vuitton exhibit and installation, it was absolutely stunning in Corso Venezia. And then Via Tortona also always proves a real trail to walk down on, and you get some incredible stuff, like for example the Japan Handmade, a little corner in Tatra's showroom, I thought was really quite impressive, and some few bits in Via Savona as well. I think the Cotto space with the Thai influence in on the tiles that they were on show, it was such an open space and a beautiful calm little quiet corner.
Because I think that's, I mean, because there is such a cacophony of stuff that you see. I mean, particularly at Salone, the actual trade fair, but even in town, it's such a big circus. And I think what Cotto did, which is the great Thai bathroom manufacturer who's hooked up with Piero Lassoni, one of Italy's biggest designers, that was such a lovely little calm sanctuary, which, you know, it's sort of so difficult to get the exhibition style right, but they really, really did it. It's interesting you mentioned there Louis Vuitton, who sort of moved into furniture pieces with their Nomad collection a couple of years ago, which I totally agree is one of my favourite things there. Not just the kind of the presentation of it, where they showed Charlotte Perriand's Cabana again, but the actual new stuff was great. But it does signal again, and it's come under a lot of criticism recently, people talking about this, that the over-commercialization of the design industry in so many different brands now trying to get in on the act of design, because it's such an important sector, like happened in fashion years ago now. But, you know, most of the sort of important parts of the Milan programme are the exhibitions by trainer brands, by a lot of the car brands. It's these sort of non-design partnerships which come up, which, I don't know, it sort of changes the nature of the week, don't you think, Josh?
Yeah, completely. I mean, and the thing is that there isn't really an inherent problem with these people getting in on the act, as long as the quality of the product and the innovation is still there. However, when, you know, people, you obviously went to the Airbnb event, there was the COS and Snarkitecture kind of installation in the showroom. Nothing wrong with these events whatsoever, but you do get this kind of idea that brands are trying to cross-fertilise themselves and take some of the cachet from the Design Week. And the Design Week really needs to be, I think, first about design to keep people interested and keep people involved. However, Satellite, which is an exhibition of this year under 35-year-old designers who don't have long-term contracts, who are basically putting out prototypes that show a lot of promise. And this is within the cacophony of the main Fiera. It was my highlight this year. It was absolutely brilliant. Lots of interesting young designers and, you know, people playing with different materials and playing with the kind of the safe structure of what a lot of people are releasing this year.
Kiara, any favourites from the week?
Well, I mean, speaking about the greats making a return, I think there was also a case to be made for the fact that there was quite a few anniversary taking place in this edition. So you have the 80th of Molteni, which also
was... And that exhibition was fantastic, wasn't it?
It was
which
great.
They took over...
The Galleria di Arte Moderna.
Yeah, it was, and they presented, Jas Morrison curated it, this lovely, lovely retrospective looking back of a fairly well-edited selection of the greatest hits of Molteni.
Yeah, when you have 80 years, it's quite difficult. But the exhibition was great. And in the space day, in the trade fair, they also exhibited these new releases of the re-releases of the Joe Ponti chairs. And, you know, a Joe Ponti design always comes back. But these new releases were quite interesting. And same with Cassina as well. Mm-hmm. They dedicated quite a big space to... the 50th anniversary of the death of Le Corbusier. So there was a lot of space dedicated to the memory and a homage to Le Corbusier with a big theatre, with a film dedicated to him. And I think that's definitely something that's worth celebrating. So sometimes giving a little look at the classics can be...
Especially Gio Ponti. Josh, any highlights?
I mean, so many to choose from. As I mentioned, Satellite, as I look after the inventory section, I tend to look for the smaller scale products and the smaller scale companies. And it was an absolute delight to walk around. I think they're very interesting ideas, very innovative. But as you say, you know, whether those will make it remains to be seen. I've very much enjoyed Punkt at Design Junction. I know our editor-in-chief, Tyler, is a big fan, and we spoke to the CEO, Petter Nebby, as well, on the radio. I thought they had a very interesting offering.
Now, I heard something so interesting about that. One of my design journalist colleagues interviewed Jas Morrison about it. And this USB box is sort of slightly, ever so slightly angled. The top of it's sort of diagonal. And she asked why, and apparently said, because then it's just, you can put your hand on it and you can pull out the USB clip without using two hands, because your palm will just rest on it. I mean, that is just the most incredible pieces of functional design.
It's very clever. And obviously, Jasper Morrison was a huge part of this Salone, as much as ever, but perhaps even more than ever. I mean, what do you think about that? You mentioned this kind of reliance on a number of designers, but his output has been truly phenomenal. The same with the Burlek brothers.
Yeah. I mean, Jasper, he always sort of works, we'll hear from him next up in the show, but he always works with sort of a nice, close stable of really nice manufacturers. Produced a beautiful new light for Floss, some lovely new chairs for Emeco, but yeah, there's always the great DNA of Jasper that runs through everything he does, and it's always a pleasure to see whatever he does. That was Monocle's edits editor, Josh Fennett, and our colleague Chiara Ramella discussing the 54th Salone del Mobile, which ran in Milan all of last week. Salone del Mobile remains the biggest design gathering in the world, and the one time the entire industry gathers to show off its new wares. But it's not all about looking at the future of design, but reflecting on the past too. At the Floss Professional Space, an exhibition was held looking at the work of arguably Britain's greatest living industrial designer, Jasper Morrison. A series of images, sketches and products were displayed to tie in with the release of A Book of Things, a new monograph of Morrison Designs, which includes lights for Floss, outdoor furniture for Kettle and seating for Maruni. I caught up with Jasper there to discuss the new book, the unwavering importance of Milan Design Week, and how important strict editing is to both of them.
The new technology is a ring of LEDs which face inwards and light up a kind of translucent panel, and the effect is to make this kind of flat white disc of light, which is kind of startling when you see it the first time. And that really began with Piero showing me this technology, and in fact the first prototype was Piero holding this white disc, and from that moment the job was really to fill in the Piero bits and find out a way to hold this disc and make sense of it, turn it into a light. So it's mounted on a tripod base, and the top bit swivels, and also on two axes, has a kind of a gyroscopic character. The disc is about 80 centimeters, and it's quite a powerful light on its maximum setting.
And here we are also to talk about a new publication that's just been released, a retrospective.
It's the obligatory monograph that has to come out about every 8 or 9 years. So it's the new book, and with Lars Müller Publishers in Zurich. Mm. The mission really is to avoid it looking like a catalogue. That's one of the problems of design books. So we've tried to mix it up and avoid having too much white background shots of product. So there are a lot of drawings, many atmospheric photos of the objects and the furniture in spaces. There are some texts. This one is a very early one from 91, called The Unimportance of Form, which I wrote pretty much early on in my career. But I think for me still holds true that really form is not the most important thing when you're trying to make an object. It's not the thing which guarantees performance. There are many other qualities in an object than its shape.
I'd sort of consider you one of the design industry's greatest editors in a way, just in terms of how you design. Mm-hmm. What's the kind of working process when you're putting something like this together, of just making sure there's enough to tell a narrative and to give insight into your work, but not too revealing?
It's a painful process. At the beginning, it's terrifying because you have a collection of images which are easy to get together, and you put them up on the wall in a sort of sequence, and then you just think, my God, this is going to be such an uninteresting book. And then luckily I have Lars, who keeps me calm, and we acquire over a period of a few months, we start to gather material, and he directs me a bit, we need more of this or we need more of that, and then we start sequencing the book live on the wall in a slightly smaller scale, and slowly it comes together. Mm. And at a certain moment you start to feel, okay, it's not a complete disaster, and by the end you actually enjoy it. Yeah.
When you compare sort of, you know, working with Ketal to Floss, you always manage to keep such a strong sense of your own handwriting and design with, mm-hmm. you know, brands that are actually have their own, yeah. quite yeah. colourful Ketal, all made in Spain, outdoor furniture, but you know, you kept a real sense of your own self. How does that come about?
I really enjoy working with these different companies, and it brings a lot to the project, the differences in the companies and their characteristics. And then from my own point of view, creatively, if I can even use that word, I feel just very opportunistic in a way. I look around and I just grab what I see and try and turn it into something fresh. I don't take any great claims of complete originality. I don't think there's even such a thing, you know. We all need to be inspired to make anything new. So it's more like a recycling process. As I said, I think it's the sort of diversity of the companies that I'm lucky enough to work with is also very inspiring, because I'm not always working on one thing or with one set of people.
And my last question is on the subject of editing. We're at Salone, we're in Milan, where it seems that there's sometimes very little editing going on, just the amount of stuff there is to see. What's your kind of take on Salone as a design festival fair? Do you still enjoy it?
It's a monstrous success. Enjoy is a difficult word to agree with. I think it's an ordeal. It can go very well and it can go very badly. It very much depends on the feedback you get for what you've done. On a good Salone with good weather, you can feel wonderful. But it could equally be raining and nobody has a kind word for you, and that's pretty depressing. So, mixed feelings, really.
So this one, the sun is shining outside
again. It's been great. You know, it's been great weather and good reactions.
That was Jasper Morrison talking to me there last week in Milan.
In our finely tuned May issue, you'll discover our design directory, putting the spotlight on the best in architecture, furniture, and retail. If you like your arm candy well built, this is the issue for you. But there's so much more.
In the affairs section, we head to Fort McMurray, the Canadian oil boom town that's trying not to go bust now the oil price has crashed.
In the business section this month, we're in Tehran to take a look at the Iranian capital's burgeoning retail scene. With many feeling sanctions will be lifted imminently, there's a sense of optimism and opportunity for investors here.
In the culture section, we profile Curzon's director's cut of London's cherished Renoir cinema. Amazing architecture and a discussion of the future of the cinema abound.
The May issue of Monocle is on all well-stocked newsstands now. Or treat yourself to a subscription. Visit monocle.com to find out how.
You're listening to part one of our Salone series here on Section D with me, Tom Morris. Now, Milan Design Week is a truly international affair, and yet most often it's the big Italian brands and the institutional Italian designers who still headline there. Rodolfo Dordoni is undoubtedly one of the most prolific and presented new pieces for everyone from Minotti to Roda to Flu at last week's edition. But it was at the Spanish outdoor furniture brand Ketal that I chatted to him. We discussed his new pieces, how he maintains long-term relationships with the big boy brands, and how difficult it is for younger designers to do the same in today's current market.
The idea of comfort is an impression, is a visual impression. It's comfortable, but to find that impression is just working on the upholstery. The world of materials, inside materials, is changing once again. The world of the inside for the outdoor material, of the outdoor furniture, is changed. So you have to find fibers, you have to find materials that gave you the look of relaxing or soft, comfortable. Even just a simple cucitura should give you the right impression in terms of comfort.
And how, because I always associate Ketal with, it's got a very strong sense of its own brand and identity, its colour, it's a bit of sort of Spanish fun, and I think that's what makes it unique, especially in the outdoor furniture market where a lot of the brands are fairly blank. That must be a real challenge and an opportunity for you to sort of match what you do up as a designer with the sort of the visual language of Ketal.
I think that the image of the company is what they want to show. And I think that the result of what's happened at the moment with the company is that they are looking on, they are working with people, with different people. When I said different, I mean different in terms of attitude, character, personality, taste, and they are able to maintain the balance between the different personality, the single personality, with the contenitore, the box. Yeah. This is, I think, the image. The fresh image of the company is the right balance between different personality. Any one of us working in Ketal doesn't change their attitude or their personality working for Ketal. They just try to put in Ketal the most happy face that they have.
And it's such a cohesive collection as well. That's what's so clever about the brand. Tell us what else you're presenting this week. You must be involved in lots and lots of new products for lots of different brands.
We have done the collection di Minotti.
Which is beautiful.
Thank you. Molteni. We have done the sofas for Molteni. We have Roda, the new collection for Roda. We have Flu. And Foscarini.
But that's a lot of brands. How do you do it?
Lot of. But all of them are different. I try to work with companies that are not similar because I like to find a different way to learn my job. And you can learn if you can take something and you can put something. So different companies gave me this opportunity.
What's your sort of working process like in the sort of the year up to Salone? Do you think kind of collection by collection, brand by brand, or are you a real sort of polymath where you're just you're doing a sofa for Molteni 1 second, and then...
What I'm doing with... I told you I like to work with company for a relationship. So sometimes work or job or furniture burn from just a chiacchierata, a discussion or a chat. Talking with a company, talking, sharing our impression, what we can do, suggestion. And the product became a product. The chat became a product. So that is possible only if you know who are talking with you or who are you talking, no? It's a work in progress. Any companies develop the chat that they have with you in a different way. I'm not talking that we are just chatting, but any product start from a chat.
That was Italian designer Rodolfo Dordoni talking to me there at Salone del Mobile. Now, banal isn't the first word you'd expect a designer to use to describe his new pieces at Salone. But occasionally, the seemingly endless array of new tables, chairs and modular sofas can tie even the most enthusiastic of visitors. How, and perhaps why, do you reinvent the wheel year after year? At Vitra, French designer Ronan Borelec and his brother Elvin have taken on the humble typology of the bistro table and chairs for their new pieces. A new look for an old classic, and not banal in the slightest. I caught up with Ronan at the Vitra stand.
In the Vitra stand, we present a chair, two chairs to be precise, one with and one without armrest, and a table system. So something extremely banal in a way. But we spent 4 years to try to achieve it in this very banal and simple function in a nice way. I don't know what to think about it, but I think it's not so bad. Recently someone that I like said me that at least it's a mature work. I don't know how to take it. For him it was a compliment. For me the problem is that I quite value the fact of being a sort of naive designer, which is not a specialist, and I don't want to become to be a specialist. So,
a specialist in what way?
I hate specialists because they know too much about the problem or about everything, so they are already conditioned. The fact that you've got a certain distance and about things help you sometimes to arrive to do something interesting. Yeah, for example, this year we've done, by coincidence, SweetShare launching this year. And all of them are quite different because the context of production is different. It's done in three different countries with a very specific culture.
And it must obviously change with each brand that you worked for. I mean, we'll talk about Artek in a little bit, but certainly in the case of Vitra, how do you change your signature style? How do you overcome a sense of banality with something like a table and chairs when you work for a brand like Vitra? How do you sort of tailor what you do to suit the Vitra world or the Vitra vocabulary?
I think there is two things in the works that we try to do. There is the facts, what I explained before, to try to be intelligent in different type of context, to respect in a way a certain identity of company, but in the same time we try to build a work. So I explained before that this year we present 8 different projects or collections. There is difference between them, but it's extremely important for me that you can recognize yourself.
It's about sort of shapes more than materials, would you say?
Very often the character of project are linked to the way it's built or the construction aspect. How two materials are linked together with a certain delicacy, the metal goes in the plastic. So it's like building a poetry or something. So there is different component and you have to assemble them in an interesting way, in a new way.
Now let's talk about Artek. Obviously the company has gone under big change in the past couple of years. I think your collection was probably one of the first in its new incarnation as a very sort of global brand. But how do you feel, you know, obviously working alongside the greats like Alvar Aalto, who is so part and parcel of Artek, when you were designing that collection, which is showing here, was Alvar Aalto a big inspiration, pressure?
When we start to discuss, because Vitra own Artek and Rolf Elbaum, which is someone which I speak almost every day, asked me if he will be interested to work for Artek. I was not sure that, for a very clear reason, is that for me Artek is a sort of untouched treasure from the 20th century, with marvelous objects that I knew very well. I quite value the fact too that since Aalto there have been some, since the last 20 years there have been some work, but not very efficient, not very interesting, I think. So Artek stayed a sort of 20th century company. So the question is, for me, was how to succeed to do something which is interesting there. So it was a big pressure, because I like Aalto, is very important for me. But there is something that we share probably with this way of thinking. It's a question of principle. So to find a system, a principle that you can apply on different type of typology. So Aalto furniture are always like that. He defined a shape or a technique linked to a shape, and then from that it's a fit for a stool, a fit for a table, a fit for
tea trolley.
Yeah, a shelf. Or...
And you mentioned, you were talking about earlier about the sort of the banality of some things. I just want to get your opinion on Salone del Mobile overall. I mean, it's such a huge event. You're participating in lots of it. What's your take on it as a furniture fair? Because it's come under a lot of criticism recently for just being too big and there's too much stuff.
I think there was an exhibition this year organized by Domus magazine about what you were doing in your 20s. So they asked to hold the Italian master, and we were chosen as to be part of this exhibition. And so I get a bit in the archive, and I found a picture of me 20 years ago. It was my first Milan, so I came here 20 times since the last 20 years at the same period in April. What I like here is that you've got a picture of the furniture world. It's the most important event in this world. It's interesting to see that, for example, Jonathan Ive, who will launch a new book, is doing it here. So there is a sort, just for 1 week, there is a sort of people from different point of view, from different discipline, arrive here just to see, and I quite like that. So of course 99% is non-interesting, but there is thing, and it's, since 20 years I always heard the same thing, that it's non-interesting, but people come back, and I think it's interesting to analyze. And yes, of course you see the quantity, which is enormous, the banality. It's like a book fair, it's the same thing. How many books, how many movies are launched every year? We just remember 2 or 3 of them, and it's the same year.
That was one of the Borelec brothers, Rona, talking to me there at the Vitra stand at the Salone del Mobile in Milan. And that is all we have time for on this edition of Section D. Coming up next week in the second part of our Salone series, we'll be at Lighting Fair Euroluce, talking to the CEO of Floss and to lighting designer Michael Anastasiades, as well as British designer Lee Broom and one half of Scholten & Beijings. I'm Tom Morris. Today's show is produced by David Pleasant and edited by Holly Fisher. You can contact the producer David at dmp@monocle.com if you'd like to feature on the show or if you have any comments or questions. Thank you very much for listening. Bye-bye.